Blog Talk Radio.
Bud, this is Crew Chief Q at Speedway Anywhere, your podcast magazine for all things motorsports and maybe even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053. You can always email the show at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. Just how it sounds, speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. The inbox is checked throughout the show. We are live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. No rain delays, by the way, but we do like to get extra laps when needed. Let's throw the green flag and go hammer down. Now here's a tough part, and we're not going to bring the negative up right away. I'm trying hard not to bring up the bummer negative, but it will come up in a little while. It's a story that is extremely relevant in NASCAR auto racing period. But hey, we'll finish off the show on the funny notes. So let's skip ahead to the weekend recap first, and I'm going to reopen a note here for just a second. There we go. Back to the awesome news from Dawsonville. And of course, Chase Elliott had put it all on the line to get a win all year. I think some guys are running a little conservative, playing the stage points just for a chase berth. It always gets confusing because between Chase Elliott and the championship chase, it's all about the chase, about the chase. It go, you know, that's an easy one-liner to go to. But I do think that some are running a little conservative and just going for points. I mean, you even look at Martin Truex Jr. He's got the toughest teammates to beat. Then he's got Kyle Busch he's got to run against. And, of course, Martin Truex, last year's champion. This ain't the time of season. Chase has been running like championship doesn't matter. He's just out there for wins. He's been getting the top fives. Second place. Ninth when needed. They put the car back together for what otherwise would have been... What do you want to say? A scoreless race? I mean, 30th place... as many don't bother to go back out, create laps, that kind of thing. He's up to 11th in points. At one time, he was behind Jimmy Johnson, who is fading. Four races left before the chase begins. Only like two prospective winners outside of the chase spots. And when I say chase spots, I mean the guys that are locked in with a win. And, of course, cutoff point is like 14th or 15th. With Austin Dillon lurking outside in 21st, 19th, not quite sure. I gave that report on Monday. Eight are locked in. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, last year's champ, Truex Jr., Martin Truex Jr., by the way. Clint Bowyer in fifth, Joey Logano. Chase Elliott, obviously entered after Watkins, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, who won the first race of the season. Everyone got so excited about that. Restrictor plate races will never count, at least to me. Daytona, Talladega. I almost said something negative about the road course race for Chase, because it became one of the only field mile races of the year, if not for years past. With the new stage racing, the field strategy is definitely a lot different. I say only Jamie McMurray and Ryan Newman, who are, you know, outside of the top 16 right now, and of course in the mix of Austin Dillon. I say Jamie McMurray and Ryan Newman are probably the prospects to pull a win in the next four races. Xfinity, let's skip to Xfinity. Christopher Bell is the man. He was in the hunt for four wins in a row, but came up short on Saturday. But that was an unlikely feat, when his fourth win would have taken on a road course to get that four in a row for a series tying record. The old Sportsman Busch Nationwide Series, Xfinity Series, depending what title you want to give that. There was a lot of Cup regulars in that field. We'd give it AJ Allmendinger, the Penske cars, Logano and Keselowski. There was a lot of them. We'll see how he does going on through the Roval course at Charlotte. I think that's going to be unknown to all drivers. But yeah, Christopher Bell, he's sitting back in points a little bit. As far as what he's done throughout the year, but he is first right now in the Xfinity Series. He's a lock for the Chase Championship. So let's see how he does in Mid-Ohio. Maybe he can conquer that road course too. If I'm stuttering and I'm sounding boring, I apologize. The difference going in Mid-Ohio this weekend, he'll have new Cup regulars. One will be though, Bill Elliott, former CUM champion, Bill Elliott, who is returning from hiatus, and of course, you know, his son Chase Elliott got the first win on the last road course at the Glen. Points are currently, though, let's skip ahead because I am reading too far ahead in my notes. Points are currently Christopher Bell in first with 4 wins on the season. Obviously a lock for the chase coming up. Cole Custer, second, yet to win. Daniel Hamrick and Elliott Sadler, third and fourth. They, too, are winless. And the top five are rounded out by Justin Allgaier in fifth. He does have 2 wins. So, really, as this points scenario shakes out, it's Christopher Bell and then Allgaier in fifth. The Xfinity Series has 6 races before it begins its chase at Richmond September 21st. And, you know, Tyler Reddick in 7th, he's because of the interlopers, the bushwhackers, Tyler Reddick is the only one else with a lock for the chase as he sits 7th in points. It's going to be interesting. They have 6 races to go, I believe. Yeah. The trucks, different story. They only have 2 races to go before their chase. And this will actually come along this month of August. Trucks come back from break where they'll join the Cup Boys at Michigan Saturday, August 11th. The truck series only has 2 to go before their chase races begin, where Johnny Sutter has held the points for most of the season. New sensation, Noah Gregson, holds 2nd in points and may just take the lead when the points are reset going into the final 7 races at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, August 26th. The reason I say that is Johnny Sutter has recently struggled. Yep, another road course, by the way, in the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park at the end of the month. And the first series to begin their showdown in the month of August. Grant Enfinger, he's in 3rd in points. He's been there for a while. Stuart Friesen is 4th. He's been there for a while. Brett Moffitt, who is the closest in wins to Johnny Sauter. I have no news on Moffitt's sponsorship situation, but he did win the K&N series race Friday at Watkins. Sure would be a shame if he can't finish out the championship in the truck series. I don't know any details as far as what their negotiations are like, what their, you know, Brett Moffitt, I'd put Speedway anywhere on the side of his truck if I could cough up, I don't know, $50,000 for a weekend. That'd be awesome. But there's no one latching on. Maybe it's the team owners department that is standing off about it. But when you look at a guy like multiple champion Matt Crafton, who is still winless, they're 6-6. He's followed by Justin Haley and Ben Rhodes, who have wins all three have sponsorships between Crafton, Haley, and Ben Rhodes. But you got Brett Moffitt, who is a lock for the big show going into the final seven races. And I guarantee he'll make it to Miami and take the cameras off of a lot of the trucks down there. So the business side of this all confuses me, and we're going to be talking about the business side and some not so good news when we come back. I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to talk about this. Most may have heard by now, Brian France, the heir to NASCAR and CAO, got himself in a major bind last Sunday in New York. Of course, the NASCAR major series, both the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series, were at Watkins in New York, and this happened in the Hamptons. Brian is the son of Bill France Jr. and, of course, grandson to the original proprietor of NASCAR, Bill Sr., and Lisa France Kennedy, yes, that Kennedy, Brian's sister, daughter of Bill France Jr., is a co-heir of NASCAR. Bill Jr. passed away in 2007, 4 years after Brian had assumed the helm of CEO in 2003. I always try to, inject perspectives that aren't the same old, repetitive news. This has been all over the news, and I try to keep it unique and keep it fresh. So when you get pulled over and you get found with drugs that you can't prove are prescription, how can you put the hammer down on drivers and give them penalties, and sometimes in their careers? So let's NASCAR has random drug testing policies. The team owners have their own perspectives of off-track behavior NASCAR has their own interpretation as well. Multiple pro sports judge how they deem fit, whether at the executive level, team level, players' performance on or off the field. The Francis and Mike Helton and others implemented the random drug testing policy in 2009, and now Brian France was pulled over and found intoxicated with an alcohol level of over 0.18. He was also found with opiate pills. He couldn't provide proof prescription. We'll see how that goes. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I've talked to multiple law enforcement officers over my years who tell me half the drivers, not NASCAR drivers, not auto racing drivers, period, they come into contact with, and common citizens that they have run-ins with, have alcohol-related violations. Not that they are drunk at the time of an encounter or pullover, but many have one on their record. This was state patrol, city cops. It's a common offense. I can maybe, and I say maybe, forgive a DUI. Sometimes just over the limit isn't clear. Hell, even today's limits are 20% lower than years ago, meaning that 0.1 is now a 0.08, okay? So you can't equate that really. But if Brian France can't prove the pills belong to him through medical advice, he has no place as the CEO enforcing drug policies. And hey, why the hell a guy with the wealth of Brian France made the decision to drive is ridiculous. You know he could have gotten a freaking fleet of limos, at least a cab or something with his kind of money. Why was he on the road? I don't get it. So, for the meanwhile, Jim France, Brian's uncle, will assume the helm. No, it's too much to put in a nutshell and way more than anything measurable. Look back at Jeremy Mayfield. The first year of the random testing, 2009, there was already rumblings about Jeremy Mayfield's habits. Mayfield later was found out to have been committing burglaries at a huge level when NASCAR put him out of competing for failing a drug test. Mayfield refused to go through NASCAR's Road to Recovery program. Counterpoint is AJ Allmendinger failed a random test, and AJ went through the steps. He actually got through all those simple little, you know, it was, hey, dude was partying, screwed up, and he ended up back on the track. He was driving, I believe, for Petty at the time, and that was after the Red Bull team, and now he's with the Doherty team and has a victory, and, you know, seems like a good guy. So he went through the steps that he was required to. He got back in, unlike Mayfield, who clearly meth. it's hard to say the word meth and messed. But yeah, Mayfield just spun himself out. I don't know what happened there. There was even the reports of Mayfield and his ex saying that the 19 car that he was driving for Everham Motorsports alongside Bill Elliott, by the way, that Mayfield was actually purposely wrecking the car, and his wife had said that if we're going to start our own team next year, you don't want that 19 car to be in the points to get a provisional spot. Hope that makes sense. I got a lot on my mind with this Brian France deal. So, anywho, some more drivers as recently as Spencer Gallagher failed to test. There's been a lot of crew members, by the way, that have failed tests. And, you know, Spencer Gallagher, who had to sit out some of the starts in the Xfinity Series, even though he had a win, will not be in the championship. You got to consider that this guy with the gavel, the judge, the CEO, is out there saying basically, do as I say, not as I do. This is a stain on NASCAR, and so much for the sport that once was, you know, so non-criminal, non-wife beating, non-domestic assault, poster, you know, hey, let's look at it, pretty boy, pretty face, and then, of course, you know, beautiful Danica. This guy screwed it up. I've heard of it in other sports, but I don't need it here. I really don't. I'll be back in a second. Finally, time to unvent. Let's go to talking about guys that can just spill their guts, give their opinion, and then tell you take it or leave it. John Forrest. And HRA has the weekend off before they return at Brainerd. Brainerd here in Minnesota. They'll be back Thursday, August 16th to the 19th. John Force is seeking his 150th win in a final. And Courtney Force, who leads Funny Car Points, is the biggest nemesis. He's going to have to overcome her effort. And, of course, Robert Height, another Funny Car driver out of the same camp. Courtney has dominated the points in the division, and regardless of slump, she is consistent in her finishes. She keeps picking up points along the way. I don't understand the NHRA points as great as I understand the NASCAR points. And, oh my God, that was some homework. After they simplified it and then made it complicated again. Steve Torrence has been top of top field, but another couple of women of horsepower, Leah Pritchett and Brittany Force, have done a good job of holding other drivers at bay, keeping them behind Torrence. Once again, Brittany Force was in the wreck, I believe, April, before she came back. So that got her behind. Pro Stock, as mentioned on Monday, there was a protest by McGahey about the engines of the Jags teammates, Jag Jr. and Erica Anders. McGahey failed to prove his case, and McGahey failed to prove his case, and sorry, I got a call coming in here. Jags and Eric Anders, he was unable to prove his case, and it's business as usual. We're all involved, but McGahey is now $2,000 lighter in his pocket after staging the protest. Greg Anderson holds the point lead with division standout Tanner Gray in second, and Erica Anders, like mentioned in the protest from McGahey, is in third. Sort of a close championship in Pro Cycle, where Andrew Hines holds points. It's the Pro Cycle is kind of hard to follow because one weekend it's strictly Harley. Topper Harley. Topper Harley, Kurt. And then,
hey, speaking of Topper Harley,
it's always funny how you come in at the perfect moment to mention your name.
You know, it's kind of funny mentioning Topper Harley, though. I was just thinking about that movie about Hot Shots Part Deux when he goes, "Colonel, you possibly can't bring in a woman around these men. They took an oath of chastity like their fathers and their fathers and their fathers before them."
Well, it's funny you mentioned something like that, because actually I got 2 points to make. On Sunday nights, on the news, they would talk about the weekend ratings and dollars for the movies, and you would see Diana Pierce awkwardly sit. And the second highest ranking was Hot Shots Part Duh. And she had to say duh. Even though, you know, she didn't want to say duh.
Yeah.
She had to say duh. Oh, what was my other point? Maybe I'll come up with it in a while. Had something to do with Top Harley. All right, So let's finish out NHRA, and then we can kick the can. The sheet metal, the aluminum, the maybe it's fiberglass. You never know what those damn things are made out of.
No.
So it's sort of a close championship pro cycle where Andrew Hines holds points. NHRA has 8 events left for 2018. 2 events remain before their showdown to the championship. Now, this is something I got to look into. Somehow or another, there are bracket points and chase points like NASCAR being built up. I'm curious how that's all going to go down. It's going to begin September 13th, day before my birthday, yeah! Till the 16th at the Dodge Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway in Pennsylvania. Can you believe we're actually counting down to less than a half a dozen races in most divisions?
I can. I'm so used to this. For a while there, was so confusing to me. Not that confusing anymore. Of course, when the playoffs started, though, and the Cup Series started doing it, it was only one damn guy. Now there's a little bit more variety.
Well, let's not get delusions of grandeur going on here. There's only 3 or 4 guys going for the Cup. The year started
a lot better
out
than with that one guy.
What one guy?
Johnson. It just wouldn't end.
Now, at least over the years with Johnson, in the tight points format, there were still a lot less points in between. I mean, you can't say that, like, you look back at the when you're in thing. You got frickin' Austin Dillon with 1 win back in 21st place, who is a championship perspective. Because he's got a win. Has a win, not got a win. He's got a win. That's just ridiculous. And I have a feeling that it's going to become a different point scenario sometime soon. Maybe if the drunken drug addict CEO... did I just say that? Oh, oops. All right, let's plow through this. What do we got? We got, no, plenty of time. IndyCar.
What did that happen to him again?
The Hamptons of New York.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Hamptons. I'm wondering if he was up there with P. Diddy, the Clintons, the Kennedys. No, they're in Hyannisport. That's right. Or is that the Bushes? I can't remember. But all the celebrities up there.
Well, apparently Trump is part of the whole New York scene too, but
oh yeah. Yeah, I mean Hamptons, you got all them celebrities, you have this person, you have that person. You got a bunch of people you never even heard of but are still up there with money.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'd love to be as high above the ground as possible. But I also like being down on the ground on the ocean.
Racing
a quad bike. And, you know, yeah, what's with all the people want to be sky high?
Well, too, I've always wondered, though, what's it like there in spring, you know, where it starts to get a little bit warmer. And I'll shut up here about the Hamptons, but another thing, too, you know, you don't have a hurricane forever. Obviously, you're in Hurricane Alley, but then all of a sudden, you get a hurricane warning after a while, first hurricane warning, like 20 or 30 years, what it's like. After that amount of time.
You know if Obama ever had a place in New York?
What's that?
Do you know if Obama ever had a place in New York?
Never heard of it, but he's been in the Hamptons. I mean, just because.
Well, it's been
yeah.
No, the reason I ask is there was a really cool thing. I was talking with someone about Obama's singing voice, and it was really cool. After your last 9/11 or the one before that, he went, I'm getting way off of motorsports, and I apologize, folks. But yeah, he was doing that. You know that song, Empire State of Mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those little kids?
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
They went around singing it at New York City fire stations.
Oh, do you mean New York State of Mind, Billy Joel song?
No.
Oh.
Empire State of Mind.
Hmm.
That when you're in New York. Alicia Keys.
Hmm. Okay.
Those kids went around.
Mm-hmm.
They sang it. And last year, Obama joined the kids to do it at fire stations in New York. That dude can sing, man. Obama's got a voice. Anyways, I'm way off track, and I'm going I'm kind of just taking the show way off track and nostalgic, and it's just... Thank you. All right, the RL. The RL will take another weekend off before returning at Pocono August 19th. This is their fourth to last race of the season. Like I mentioned, it's coming to a close here. So, crazy to think after the ridiculously late winter that we had. Scott Dixon leads points, followed by Alexander Rossi and last year's champ, Joseph Newgarden. Next in line would be Will Power. Will Power! And then Ryan Hunter, Ray in fifth. That hasn't changed for quite some time. Well, they don't race that often. And he will be the first of the Major League Series to finish up their season when they do it on September 16th. World of Outlaws, tonight through Saturday. Another Knoxville Nationals event. Knoxville, Iowa. Where Donnie Hotshots. Hot Schwartz? Hot Trots?
Put duh. There.
Put duh. We might be done by 8 o'clock. God. speaking of the trots, bathroom break would be not. No. can't believe I just said that. So, yeah, tonight through Saturday, more Knoxville Nationals. And Donnie, hot charts, hot trots, hot Schwartz still leads the points. And Brad Sweet, you know, dude, Brad Sweet is second in points. So, David Gravel tried to come up with something clever for him. Didn't work out. If you got any gravel jokes or...
Yeah. It's too obvious. Gravel. It works for racing, too. Although I've never seen anybody race on gravel. Everybody's had a spin
but
out
I
on
need
gravel.
A punchline. I gotta have a punchline. I mean, dude, Sweet, and Donnie Schwartz. All right, whatever. So let's go. Dude, where's your car? Remember, NHRA and the RRL both have the weekend off.
Just like we are right now.
I just asked, where's your car?
Oh, it's in the shop being looked at, you know. I'm putting in the Castrol GTX because John Forrest told me to. You know, working on that engine with John Forrest. And John Forrest is telling me, grab the snap-on wrench. Grab the skill.
Where's your car? I said, the Indy League has the weekend off. The NHRA has the weekend off. Who's your pick?
Oh. I'm going to go with Will Power. No. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to go with Will Power this week. I know they're off. Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to go with who's not going to win this weekend. Bill France Jr.
Okay, come on now. That guy is in his grave rolling over about his son, but...
I know I was going to go somewhere with that, but forget it now. And he's God, what would he think right now? I mean... This isn't 1962 NASCAR, you know, that made news, you know, and I mean, God, what just,
Well, you know how grease is the word, that you heard, it's got mood, it's got feeling, well...
Mm-hmm.
I recently found out, and we're getting off track as far as our dude, where's your car, or who's your car. Oh, I heard Kira loud and clear. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Gotta have the tiger. Remember Ricky Bobby?
Yep.
Talladega Nights?
Oh, yeah.
Kira looks like the cat on that car. But yeah, I'm screwing up here. There was something about Rick Hendrick. He only drove two races. And they're both on road courses. And I can't find my notes of... I'm shaking my hand in the air, by the way. I can't find the notes about where those races were. So, whatever. Rick Hendrick, on the subject of road courses, Bill Elliott, by the way, coming back to run a road course. Chase Elliott, who ran for Rick Hendrick last weekend, won a road course. You know, what's the story about the road? So, dude, who's your car?
You know, I'd love to go with Billion Dollar Bill. I'm going to go with Truex.
Truex at Michigan.
Yep.
We need to have a conversation about the trade. Now, say that I was willing to trade you Truex. And you could be the only one to ever use him again this year. Would you give me Harvick? And you would not be able to use Harvick.
I don't think I would. Yeah, I don't think I would.
Well, if I was to give you Buckshot Jones, I bet you'd jump on that.
You know, I am wondering what he is doing at this very moment, if he's regretting the choices he made in life.
He's oiling his shotgun. He's looking down the opposite side of the barrel, and the damn thing is probably loaded. He's just that stupid. All right, well, here goes my pick. So you're going Truex at Michigan, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm going to for a second because I need to fix something on my computer. Actually had this planned already. I'm going off the board, and since you won't exclusively enter into a contract for Martin Truex Jr. versus giving me Harvick, I'm going to chase after Jesse Jesse Preston, our own resident bumper monster at Carver County Fairgrounds on Sunday for the win. Now, you could change your vote if you want and choose Jesse alongside with me and we'll both get a point. But if Truex finishes second and Jesse finishes first, I get the point.
You know what? I'll go with Jesse because I think it would be cool to, because I never met a guy I had in fantasy football. So I'll go with Jesse because I've talked to him.
So you know what's funny about that? Even if Jesse finishes dead last,
mm-hmm.
we both, me and you, the captain and the crew chief, both get a point. Because we're... But you might want to think about that trade point. I mean, hey, Martin Truex versus Kevin Harvick. It doesn't mean you have to play Martin Truex.
Well, what was that?
Doesn't mean you have to play Martin Truex, but it means that I can't. Does that make sense?
Shut up.
All right. Who are you telling to shut up?
Kira.
Oh. The tiger on the hood of the Bobby car. Hey, let's...
She's bugging me about her litter box, and it's clean.
Can you imagine the litter box in the back of Ricky Bobby's dad's car? What was that, a Nova?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. All right, let's plow through some notes. I got to get through this. Sheldon Creed still holds points after Pocono in the ARCA series in July. They haven't raced since. They got six races to go. They'll wrap it up October 19th at Kansas Speedway when they join the primary NASCAR series for the weekend. ARCA will be back Sunday, August 19th at the Iliana Fairgrounds, where, by the way, a lot of our famous drivers that we grew up with, Trickle, Sauter, Martin, Wallace, Cole Hickey. I'm not going to say their name at all. This week in motorsports history, couldn't come up with anything. Really couldn't. You know what the first thing to come up for this week in sports history was?
What's that?
1988, Gretzky to the LA Kings from Canada. So that's kind of where that led. Dude, it's not easy coming up with this day in history stuff. You would think there's 365 freaking days of the year. Sometimes 366. You wouldn't believe how hard it is to come up with something for what was 4 billion. What do we have? 7 or 8 billion on Earth now?
Well, I can tell you this. This day in Winston Cup history, Buckshot Jones didn't do anything again. I can definitely say that.
I'm going to look up Roy Jones, motorsports history, in the Aqua Fresh car. All right. So, On top of that, since I can't find anything in history, we're going to talk about Chase Elliott. 100th Cup start 1 week after his first victory. I know you were big on that.
Yeah, that just was interesting. He's won 1% of his starts. Think about that.
Well, there's a lot of guys that have none percent.
No, I know. Buckshot Jones.
No, Buckshot Jones, Booyah Jones. You know, those guys from the Bayou.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Ward Burton that we're talking about.
He didn't grow up by the way, I like to add something here real quick. Nobody from Minnesota, like we are, should tell anyone that they talk funny, though. But could you imagine somebody from Could you imagine Ward Burton just showing up to Brainerd next week, talking to a guy up there in the seats with that heavy, thick Minnesota accent? That would be a great sound clip.
You know, Minnesotans are really precise, and I hope I come across that way sometimes, even though I don't always try to. I like to be a little more laid back, like my Reed side of the family. You know, that are kinda the Kansas side of the family. And then the Mississippi side. Where they keep rattling stuff off and talking about motorsports announcements and blogtalkradio.com talking certain, you know, that kind of thing. I'm somewhere in between. But you can betcha I will never say, yeah, you betcha.
Oh, I've never heard it. I've heard more Minnesotans say for sure than any other word.
Ah, for sure. Yeah, I'll take you to all the restaurants up there in Lindstrom under the tea kettle, and you're going to hear a lot of, yeah, you betches. I think I even heard Sophie and Donnie talk like that. Hey, multi-sports announcement. And I'm going to get Kurt's opinion on this. Do you think we should designate 8:30 p.m. to multi-sports?
Is that sarcasm?
No, actually, I'm thinking about it. If the show is decked to, I just heard the playback on that. If the show is designated to stick and ball, puck and ball, maybe even CrossFit Reebok stuff, and we do the final half an hour for a full 2 hour show. I mean, NFL's coming up. All right, well.
We'll get back to that later.
Yeah, we'll get back to it later. And, you know, I kind of enjoyed having Rich to talk the bullshit. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So maybe he'll join back. And I know he's working on a ESPN ABC Sports gig with a 1500 AM in the Twin Cities market. Not sure where that's at. We'll be waiting on his news. I'm sure he'll give us a big announcement if he gets the gig. Otherwise, I might just pounce on 1500 AM for a motorsports show or motorsports segment myself. Yeah, never watch what I do right here. I was about to swear. Not doing it. All right. 23 and odd seconds to go. BlogTalkRadio.com, talking in circles. Those guys are brutally honest. I like how bold they are. They do strictly a NASCAR type show. They don't do what our speedway and our track is on, but they do talk. I mean, when you look at the Brian France story, you look at, you know, all the crap going on with that. They go right into it. Now, the show is called Talking in Circles. Obviously, they're not talking the Force be with you. And they don't have the same lightheartedness at this end of the show and whatnot. They stick true to the point. It's not a comedy show. I mean, like, I've always wanted Speedway Anywhere to be more like a morning radio show in the prime time. Just get goopy. So that's what we do. So blogtalkradio.com/talkingincircles. And then, of course, blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing. It's kind of a different vibe. And they do have guys from the Truck Series, K&N, E-Series, and then, of course, every once in a while they get a guy that's a little higher up. All right, Captain, how you doing over there?
I'm listening.
All right, let's go five to go, right?
All right.
Why did Jimmy Johnson cross the road course?
Oh, to avoid the boredom he caused.
No, it was just really weird. After the race was over, it showed Jimmy Johnson walking up the track, and I don't know what turn it was, what if it was, you know, maybe by the team hollers, maybe by the something. And then all of a sudden, there was a track worker in a red pickup truck. You know, bunch of, you know, steel-plated gear on the back, smoking a cigarette and talking on his phone. I think Jimmy Johnson wanted to go and bum a smoke.
Oh, that would be funny.
I mean, it was just, you know, there was so much time to fill after the freaking race at Watkins. And Jimmy Johnson finished freaking 30th something, and then...
Yes, he did.
Okay, you now understand why Jimmy Johnson was able to push Chase Elliott's car, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't under green. It was after the checkered. So, yeah, I just, Jimmy Johnson was out there walking. Maybe he was looking for a bump or a crevice or, you know, something that hindered his car and wore out his tires. I don't know. But, yeah, when I saw that track worker smoking a cigarette, I was like, maybe Jimmy's just out of smokes.
Yeah, I hate to say it. Maybe Chase will have to repay that favor, though. And might come at a time where you don't want him to repay that favor, but...
All right, four to go. We're going to do something different here. It's not very different, but instead of three to go with three stacks, we're going to go four to go with a stack of four. T-ball, golf tees, golf swings, or couples that swing.
Ooh, I want to go with T-ball because the ball was easier to hit for me, so I'm going to go with T-ball. As for the couples that swing, not my thing. That would have been a cool disco song. The couples that swing, not my thing, you know.
You know, like, totally set you up for that joke. And, you know, with T-ball, golf tees, golf swings, or couples that swing, you could have been like, okay, teabag the couples that swing. But, hey, that's my answer now. And I'm going to keep it at that. All right, three to go. I hate it when the show's ending because then I got to talk to myself.
Please do. Okay. Well, people hear me more when I talk to myself, so.
You know, I could go all night about this, and it's not a motorsport subject, so I'm not going to. People that, you know, if you found somebody's diary, you're talking to yourself. They find it in the trash. But that has nothing to do with motorsports. Three to go. Now, can you imagine if you were on Craigslist and you were looking for a job as a spotter? Maybe you're thinking, you know, in a gym. Some big freaking meathead is willing to pay you. Or do you see the ad that somebody's looking for a spotter as in NASCAR? You know, the guys with the headphones and the microphone on inside, outside, four to go. And you got to follow me here. Inside, outside, four to go. And then all of a sudden, all the guy did the whole race and said, there you are.
Oh, I'm sure that, I'm sure that still happens, though. I'm sure that still happens. You're right there. You're in turn one, and then the driver will go, I know. Okay, wait, I got to look at the scoreboard. I'm in 30th! Oh, I'm sure that's happened a lot. One thing, though, when one driver mentions another driver's number, I've always wondered, though, if they literally forget the guy's name. because you've heard that damn number 24 or number 3 or whatever, they literally will forget names.
Or that damn 00 on the Ockerfresh car.
Mm-hmm. It'd be funny if an NHRA driver, though, said something. You know, I did put that damn Castro GTX in my car. They never mentioned John Force's name. They only mentioned his sponsors, just like he does. John Force, though, would probably mention other drivers' names by their sponsorships.
Well, if you're loving the John Force news, it's only a short little jaunt before we get to that final lap, because... Alright, the spotter joke was supposed to be something along the lines of the Beavis and Butthead thing where Dude got choked out on the weight bench. I told you guys to spot me.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
There you are.
Yes.
So imagine a spotter up above the broadcast booth on a track that signed up for the wrong job. And you, there you are. There you are. And there you are. That's just stupid stuff that comes to my mind. Hey, for two to go, I want to give a shout out to North Haven Church in North St. Paul over by the Snowman. They're doing their summer retreat gig. It was probably the funnest lighting gig in the biggest freaking auditorium that I've ever done a lighting show in production, and they're at it. And tonight was last one before they do their Valley Fair trip tomorrow. Wish I could have been a part of it. Maybe things will work out different next year. And, hey, to Caitlin, to Jeremy, to Matthew, and to Michael, the pictures and the videos looked awesome. I'll do my best to get back there next year. Final lap. John Force. Food truck. Where are we at with that?
I did think The Force Awakens, but I don't know if you could come up with anything like that. God, what would be a great... I literally just left it open because I could not come up with anything.
I'm thinking Force Fed or...
Force Fed would be good.
Force Federation?
Force.
You know, you could separate the word. Force Fed a Nation? I.
Force Fed would be a good name. Oh, because he's a drag racer. He could have, like, a New York strip, the stakes, and be like four strips. You know, the strip stakes.
Oh, God, I forget where he's from.
I think he's from somewhere in California, isn't he? Yeah, I believe it's from California.
That could get difficult. You know, we could use this subject for weeks to come.
I still think that he'd be a better cab driver, just that personality. But a food truck would be interesting. You know, he'd make everybody else do the work, and then he'd do the pep talk after the shift is over. Man, the crew did a great job, you know, and unlike on the drag strip, though, people would just walk away from him.
Hmm.
He wouldn't do any of the work.
Is he going to use castor oil in the deep fryer?
Oh, I did think about that, though, too. I'm going, it would have to be fried because the castor oil. Castrol GTX. Don't forget about that.
All right, I'm going to run down the road because I got to get to Victory Lane as well. John Force, in his food truck, can you imagine? Picnic table out in front of the Brady Bunch house. He's got the food truck up there. He greases up a bunch of burgers and a bunch of slop and slime. And he's excited. He's got the John Force state of mind. You know, after we just talked about Empire State of Mind. But the Brady Force Bunch.
Yeah,
Adrian,
I...
Ashley, Courtney, Brittany, and John comes out of that food truck, and he's like, all right, I got some great slop for y'all, and if you don't like it, well, screw y'all, and take yourself on your Brady Bunch bikes down to the corner store and buy your mac and cheese. You're going to have to cook up the mac and cheese out there in the truck, and if you don't like what I cook with, I'll eat all of it.
You know, you sounded like there, Uncle Charlie from My Three Sons.
Well,
sounded
at least
just
I
like him.
Like something because I was just improvising.
I know, but oh, there you go, John Force impersonating Uncle Charlie from My Three Sons. That would be interesting. I'm wondering, speaking of Beavis and Butthead, though, the Twiggy, 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 that Japanese band, that Picasso 5, that's what they were called. I would say their name wrong. But that was the one where the whole show ended, first time to show it. And then, hey, Uncle Charlie, let's dress up like total dorks. And then Beavis's Uncle Charlie goes, my three sons of bitches. And then that's how the show ended.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when I...
John Force, God.
But, yeah. Can you imagine that, though? John Force. He's got his food truck that he races around town making a living. And then comes home to feed his daughters. And they don't like what he's cooking in that truck. So he tells them, get on your freaking bikes. Go down to the store. Boil up the mac and cheese. And feed your damn selves. Now, that's actually a reference to a child that I raised. And I don't like this. Now, I only like mac and cheese. You're like, well, I'm going to boil some loose whatever shells. Put cheese on it. I don't like that. That's not macaroni and cheese. You know, it's just like, hey, life is good. But that has nothing to do with motorsports. And best of luck and skill to Bumper Monster Jesse Preston this weekend at Carver County Fair on Sunday.
God, that would be cool if he won.
Well, we're either going to get no points or a point, or
yeah.
I think we'll both. What's the rule? As long as one of us finishes.
So
I don't
one
know.
Of us finishes first.
Finishes ahead.
Oh, okay. You know what would be really cool, though? Is that,
that's kind of like a guaranteed point for you.
You know what would be really cool, though, is if you got him on after he beat his son or his son beat him and they were both 1-2. And then it would just be like Bobby Allison beating Davey.
All right, so the be-all, end-all is that Jesse will be on Thursday, and there will be the 16th, I believe. He won't be on Monday. So me and Kurt are going to wrap it up. We're going to be masao. And
Kerplow.
Kerplow.
Kerplow. That's Klingon.
Klingon for what?
Take off, go, make it so. You know, start it up. Let's get out. You know, when the bird of prey is taken off. Yep.
Okay.
Same.
To me, it sounds like a sign that they would have held up in a Batman cartoon, like. And
no, that's a kapow.
Kapow. Okay, yep. Got it. All right, we're out of here. Come back on Thursday. Well, got it. It is Thursday. Holy crap! So Monday we'll recap. Thursday, Jesse the Bumper Monster will return from Carver County Fair. Hopefully. We wish him well. And we're out of here. La 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 la